Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada. CKUT.
Good production. You know I'm gonna hold my dog. No, I'd rather be alone. Can't go hold me down. You can't tell me what if you do, what if you go. How if you dress, me no papi show. Me a the star, so me a no fan of you. Do what me wanna follow you. Me not itch up under no man arm like Roland. Boss position, so no boy can't try program me. Rebel from day one. Real bad girl, so no boy can't try program me.
Spitfire breathes the lives of women of color in Montreal. We come together to say no to the silencing of our voices.
Do your own thing, stop fuck with. What if him love beg your money to? Can't pay rent and a bother you. Can't program me. Nanny never go a war for me. Sit down in a 2020 slavery. Me no know about you, but me know about me. No man can lick me. Some gal love them man more than how them love them one picnic. The whole man, some of them happy sex gal must be mental. Them a fuck fi credential. You no want to the oral, but a drop your moral. Fi keep man we have 24 gal, me no care.
We welcome you to another edition of Spitfire. Spitfire is a monthly radio broadcast for women of color by women of color that airs every last Wednesday of the month on CKUT 90.3 FM. First off, Spitfire acknowledges that we are settlers on the traditional territory of the Gunaikahaga people. The Gunaikahaga are the keepers of the eastern door of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Spitfire believes it is not enough to just acknowledge the keepers of this land and that everyone, ourselves included, should seek greater awareness and to actively confront colonialism and neocolonialism in their many forms and work to deconstruct and decolonize. Starting points for self-education are reclaimturtleisland.ca and idlenomore.ca.
So on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things, but our main focus is going to be on the anti-Asian racism that's been prevalent since the start of the pandemic, culminating in the recent shooting in Atlanta of 8 women, including 6 Asian women. So Spitfire had the opportunity to participate in some of the protests that were going on in Montreal after the shooting. So we're going to be back with later on in the show with some interviews from that. So stay tuned for this and much more on 90.3 FM Spitfire Women of Color Radio.
You look at me like I'm unfamiliar. Acting brand new like you never knew that you liked them thick. I've been carrying this weight in a world beneath these braids and I'm confused. Would you take the pain that came with all the parts you wanna claim for you? You want my thighs, you want my stride, but not this melanin. You want my hair, but you don't care for this complexion. I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman. Cornbread fed, sweet tea sipping. Sitting on a cold floor in the corner after school, recovering from your cover-up when you told me I wasn't right for you. It wasn't hard to believe, 'cause when I watched TV I would never see a leading lady look like me. Familiar package with less pigment, I ain't ignorant, it's just reality. You want my thighs, you want my stride, but not this melanin. You want my hair, but you don't care for this complexion.
get some lashes on and some lighter eyes.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to Black Woman by Danielle Brooks.
As usual, we will dive into some highlights and headlines that caught our attention this month. So March was not only home to International Women's Day, but also Women's Her Story Month. It was not only a celebration of all the beautiful, strong, femme, queer, and trans bodies as forces to be reckoned on this planet, but a celebration of their existence and resistance in our society. Chloe Zhao made history as the first Asian woman to win the Best Director at the Golden Globes for her film Nomadland. And if you love some Anita Baker, she has asked fans not to buy or stream her music. The famed singer is taking back her power by fighting for her master tracks. In a tweet to fans, Miss Baker asked that fans not promote platforms like Spotify and goes on to say, "Miraculously, I have outlived all of my artist contracts. They no longer own my name and likeness. And by law, 30 years old masters are to be returned to me. Unfortunately, they're going to make me fight for it. And I'm prepared to do that. So please don't advertise them." Yes. Lena Bloom makes history as the first Black and Asian trans sports illustrated swimsuit model. Bloom is an actress, model, and activist who had this to say about her accomplishment. Quote, "This is what it looks like to be in full bloom. This moment is bigger than my wildest infinite dreams," unquote. Tanzania swore in their first female president, President Samia Suluhu. The dictatorship crisis in Haiti has risen and the people are still fighting for their rights and for a new constitution. And the U.S. government is not the only Western country supporting and funding the oppressive system. Biden has been criticized for not getting rid of Trump's deportation policy. And the Canadian government, who has also historically played a role supporting oppressive, non-democratic Haitian governments, is being called to be completely transparent about its role. There's this petition going on if you want to look into it. And there was also the International Day of Solidarity with the Haitian people on March 29th, and there was a protest going on. On March 13th marked the one-year anniversary of Breonna Taylor's murder. Justice has yet to be served and her murderers are still free. We will continue to say her name and the names of countless others who have yet to receive the justice they deserve. Okay, we'll take a short musical break and we'll be right back with more Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Inside, I hear a choir sing through the night. Don't let it go.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CQT 90.3 FM. That was Forevermore by the lovely Yuna.
So as we said at the start of the show, this segment is going to be dedicated to covering some of the anti-Asian racism that's been happening both here in Canada and in the US. So as many of you probably know, anti-Asian racism has been on the rise since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Because of this, groups like Stop AAIP Hate or Stop Asian American and Pacific Islander Hate in the United States and Fight COVID-19 Racism in Canada, these groups have been documenting hate crimes against Asians basically over the last year. And from a report that was recently put out by Fight COVID-19 Racism, we can see that in Canada, for example, Vancouver has reported a 717% increase in anti-Asian hate crimes, while the SPVM here in Montreal has reported a fivefold increase in hate crimes towards Asian communities, which is quite frankly just really terrifying as an Asian woman. In the US too, there's been a string of violent attacks against people of Asian descent. And the latest big incident was the shooting in Atlanta of 8 people, 6 of them Asian women, by a white man targeting Asian massage parlors. So this latest incident sparked outcry and outrage among Asian communities in North America, with protests against anti-Asian sentiments occurring in many big cities like Montreal. So in Montreal, I had the opportunity to go to the protests. It was organized by Progressive Chinese of Quebec and the Neutral Help Group Against Anti-Asian Racism of Quebec. And so I went to the protests and I had the opportunity for Spitfire to talk to some of the folks that were in the crowd. So I'm excited to share this with you. So yeah, let's check it out.
So it's Sunday, March 21st, 1:04 p.m. I'm a few minutes late for the anti-Asian racism protest in Montreal. I can see in front of me lots and lots of people. It's a beautiful sunny day. One, two, three, four cop cars so far. But it's looking good. People are wearing masks and gathering near Atwater Station. So hopefully we're going to have a good protest.
So it's free to ask me questions. Okay.
If you want, you can say your name, but if you don't want, that's fine.
Oh, okay. My name is Yan Zhao Wu. I'm a student in Canada. I'm going to graduate. So I really want to devote to this society because I love Canada. But I feel very unfortunate about what happened recently about racism crime. And I was the victim about some couple horrible things happened on me. So I think it's my right. And I really wish I can stand here today to propose my announcement to the world. So it has to be stopped. And I think the reason I bring my daughter here is because I want my daughter to know, because I don't want to bring this racism to next generation. She already told me she wants to change her Asian name into more American, you know, North American name. And I want to educate her, be proud of about who you are, no matter the color, the race, about the gender, who you are, just be proud of yourself. That's the reason I bring her here.
Is it your first time to participate in something like this, like a march or a protest?
Yes, it's my first time. It's really my first time. And I feel like before that, I saw like it doesn't gonna change. We just standing here holding our board. But right now, I changed my mind. It's really can. It's a power. It's a very polite and but firm way to tell the world what we think and what do we want. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Diana Reyes, and I'm here at the anti-Asian racism protest. I actually stumbled upon it and was pleasantly surprised to see it happening in my route, and felt to stand in solidarity, obviously as an Asian woman, getting a little emotional about what has happened. And I've actually tried to block it out and stop watching social media, because, you know, it's it's a lot. And so, yeah, I'm here, happy to have stumbled upon it and standing in solidarity to, you know, just show in numbers that it's important that people pay attention. And it dawned on me, too, that, a lot of my, you know, audience is Asian. So for me to say stop Asian hate is a little redundant. But if I'm going to say anything to anyone, it's to, you know, people... to protect each other. You know, we all have to protect each other, Black, white, Asian. And I think the true message of, you know, these protests and showing support and solidarity is to really show the world that, like, this can't happen. And it's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And I hope people realize that sooner than later.
My name is Shu Yi. I'm an international student from China, and I'm currently living here in Montreal. It's my fourth year. And ever since the start of the pandemic, I feel like I always thought Montreal is one of the most friendly places on earth. And my friend and I, we were getting verbal assaults. Like, some guy just yelled the coronavirus at me some day in the subway. So I feel like even if this is happening here in Montreal, then I cannot imagine what the rest of the Asian community is going through in some place else. So I feel like this is this march today is very necessary, and this is the right thing to do. That's why I'm here today. Yep.
Thank you very much. Do you want to just describe a little bit your sign and what it says?
Yep. These are the names of the victims in the shooting of Atlanta. I feel like this is the way to remember them, just to know people what they have been through. That they are the victims of those hate crimes. Yep.
Well, my name is Hiba. I'm here really just to support the community, to support my Asian friends as a non-Asian, but also because I'm victim of systemic racism, I want to be here to show the non-BIPOC kids and people that it is a reality we have to live through. It's tiring that we always have to support each other and we don't have the white allies on our side. So it's really to mourn with the community and also to show out and show support.
Yeah, that's great. Do you want to read your sign? Because I think it's a great one.
Yeah. So my sign today is saying protect Asian women like you protect white murderers. And then on the other side, I have stop white terrorism instead of stop Asian hate. Because the conclusion every time is that we have white murderers who come and terrorize us. And it ends up being them having a bad day or just being mentally unstable. And it's tiring to always hear that. It's not always in America. We had the same excuse in Quebec with the shooting here as well. So it's time to kind of wake up and stop using that as an excuse for them.
Thank you so much. You said that really, really well and super eloquently. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you.
I'm here in solidarity because I think it's important when a group of people of color is going through something. I think it's important for all of us to show up for them, because the same way that if black people were going through something, I would have liked Asian people to show up for me. So I'm showing up for them for that too, because I believe the only way to, let's say, beat racism, I don't even think that's possible, but the only way to try is for us to coming together for each other, you know, all of us coming together. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's really, really important. And it's really nice to see a lot of solidarity that's happening here today.
Yeah, I think the same too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do I say my name?
If you don't have to though.
If I don't say my name, then what do I say?
Just say why you're here.
Okay. I'm here because of the unfortunate shooting that happened in Atlanta. I think that it was not a bad day for the man that was the shooter. I think it was a hate crime. How could it be a bad day when every other... hold on, let me say that again. If a man of color holds up an armed weapon, they are automatically called some sort of negative label. Meanwhile, let's say like a white man holds up an armed weapon, then he's labeled as having like a bad day. And I think that there's definitely something wrong in how they label armed weaponed people.
You're saying it basically it's discriminatory, right?
Yes, I am.
Do you want to tell me what your sign says and if you made it?
My sign says racism is a virus because although the anti-Asian people say that the virus originated from China, that is, although it did, it has nothing to do with American-born Asians. And putting the blame on us is just as discriminatory and unfair as any other basic type of racism.
What? How do you feel being here?
Wait, let me try to think. I need a phone.
Oh, I can say something more. I'm also here because of the whole anti-racism thing and the racism towards Asians, because Asians are being targeted more and more these days, and I'm even afraid for my own family and my grandmother and my father, who could be targeted at any moment. Although I am half Asian, I still am worried for myself, because it does, just because I'm half European doesn't make me any less Asian and targeted as well. I've had people say racist comments to me when I was young because I looked more Asian looking, and it has affected me the same way as any other Asian American.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also half Asian. That's how, well, I'm half Filipino. I know your dad. I really agree with what you're saying. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. How about you? Do you have anything? Or
I haven't. Oh, I'm here because of the unfortunate rise of hate crimes on Asians, and the how much they've rise since the start of the pandemic, I think is wrong, because a lot of people have blamed the virus on us Asians, which I think is wrong and disgusting. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. That's very succinct, and I couldn't agree more.
I'm so nervous.
Yeah, so as you can hear from the clip, it was really interesting crowd at the protest. It was one of the few protests that I've been to where you saw such a range in age. You know, there were families there, little kids, but there was also like, you know, really older, elderly people, you know, the kind of grandparents in the Asian community. You had young people and of all different backgrounds. Obviously a lot of people were there as well. And when I was going up to ask people kind of basically why they were here, you heard, you know, a lot of emotion, but also a lot of victimization.
I think, well, for me, what I think I was impressed about is the fact that you were able to get such a range, because even like the first woman you interviewed, she was like, I brought my young daughter here and I want to make sure she knows that she counts and anything she wants to do, she can. And that, I think, is so powerful to start that from a young age. And even towards your last interview, it's like they were young, but they're very much aware. And it's an overwhelming feeling to know that young people are getting engaged, but it's also kind of disheartening to know that this is what they're still experiencing. And it's not to say that this is just a generational thing anymore. It's literally going down the line and it's getting to the point where it's touching them younger and younger. And it's not to say like before where parents tried to hide, like they can't, parents can try as much as they want nowadays, but with social media, with the news, with everyone just kind of openly and overtly being racist, they are there getting bombarded left and right with it. And for them to kind of speak out and say enough is enough, I'm not going to stand for this anymore, I think that in itself is a statement.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I was also really impressed to hear about different perspectives in terms of like social location, you know, like I think it goes against that idea that like, you know, minorities, like they're a monolith, like Asians, like it's one, it can look like one thing. No, like you said, yeah, there was a mother with her child, there were teenagers, there was international students studying here. There was someone who said she was half Asian, but she still is Asian. Like, what the fuck? Like, who says she's not, you know? But I love that there were all these perspectives and coming together in solidarity for like, yeah, I mean, for racism, it's unfortunate that we have to, yeah, that it's something to come together for. But I think it was really, really powerful in the heart of the moment. And
absolutely. And even I think her name, it was Haba?
Hiba,
there mm-hmm. we go. You know, protect minority women like you protect white killers.
Yes.
Sorry, print that on a t-shirt and I don't know, put it everywhere because it's so true. And even the fact that the statement from the sheriff was he was having a bad day. Where do you have the caucasity? Not even the audacity anymore. Like, I use caucasity now.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
This is
what it is.
That word has been, you know, around like amongst the bushes for a really long time, but now I've like integrated it into my vocabulary. The sheer caucasity of this man to literally say, a man literally with intention killed 8 people. And you want to say that's a bad day? Are you kidding me? And it's not even to the point where there's any shame in saying a statement like that.
Right.
It just came out as natural as possible.
That's when you see how normalized it is.
And you know, and it's just like
anti-Asian, and it's okay to kill. It's
not hiding it. It's just blatantly there in everyday conversation for them.
Yeah.
And then there's people who want to say that, you know, systemic racism doesn't exist, white supremacy doesn't exist, you know, white terrorism doesn't exist. And yeah, there you have it in front of cameras and the world with a straight face.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what it is that you're saying. And I think it's really, that was one of the things that was really great about being at the protest, was seeing everybody so enraged by that and really kind of working against the idea that that type of violence is normalized. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to go around and kind of talk to a whole bunch of different types of people and to talk to them about why they're there is because I genuinely wanted to know, but I think there's also a real power in being in solidarity and working against white supremacy, right? Because white supremacy works to pit different groups and different communities of color against each other. And I think historically, Asians get left out of that conversation as if they only benefit from, you know, this idea of within white supremacy as if they're somehow higher up in the hierarchy. Exactly. And so to me, it was really refreshing to see that being broken down a little bit and there being much more nuance applied to that and seeing really how diverse the Asian community is. I mean, that includes Southeast Asians, East Asians, South Asians, you know, all these different types of people, you know, we don't look the same. And being able to talk about that openly and acknowledge it, but also be with other people of color, I think is really powerful. And there was a lot of reference towards that, just having a bad day at the protest too. And I completely agree with you. It's like, it's so, just so typical. And that's what one of the young girls said too. You know, she said, I think she said at the end, like, I think that's disgusting. And I was like, yeah.
There's no other word.
Yeah.
How do you...
And like the other part of this too is also just the fact that it was massage parlors. Like, I don't know what kinds of thoughts you both have about that.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion with the stories coming out and this whole idea with like massage parlors and sex workers and sex work in itself. And, you know, I think that is also a conversation that needs to be had because this the association that was made through this deranged person to target these women because of that. And even when it was the story initially came out, that's how they were labeled as, and not just working women. Mm-hmm. And then tying into all these stereotypical thoughts about what massage, like the not the connotations, but just the association with massage parlors. And it's not to take away from the violence of sex workers experience, because this is very much a reality. But it goes to speak to bigger discussion that also needs to be had around this kind of violence as well. And I don't know where it'll start, but it's just, it for me, it's just kind of, not annoying, but it's just frustrating that, you know, we have to kind of unpack all of this to be like, listen, this is A, B, and C. This is what you need to recognize. But also, here's where your viewpoints are wrong as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who had said it like during your interviews. It's just exhausting having to justify your existence, regardless of the type of work you're doing. You don't deserve to have this violence put upon you.
Right.
Really don't. And it's always, always on the onus of people of color to be like, no, this is why you should not kill me. This is why you should not harm me. This is why I deserve to have rights under the Constitution like everybody else. This is why. And it's just always having to come up with it. Mm-hmm. And then having it be debated on platforms that don't give voice to those who have the space and have the experience to be able to discuss this. And then just kind of tossing it aside and just chalking it up to another, you know, mentally ill Caucasian who decided that, you know, spirits or whatever were speaking to him and he was upset about X, Y, and Z, or, you know, he had a bad day, or he's a really good person and here's all the good traits of this person, regardless of this heinous act.
Right. It's like the, whether it's racism or violence against sex workers, there's that notion of having to prove that you're human, having to prove that you don't deserve it. Whereas the humanity, like being white equals being human. It's like, it's so fucked up. And I think, yeah, that's where, you know, intersectionality is so important because yeah, there were they were Asian, but the fact that it was targeted, and also thinking about how I was reading somewhere how Asian sex workers have been targets of violence across so many different so many different areas. Like, it's not something new of being seen as someone who deserved to die. Like, it's just so fucked up. Like, what's needed to just say that, like, we're human, like they're human, like every, like I, it's really, really, really makes me angry. Like, the person who was saying, like, she tries not to watch the news, and, you know, tried to, or they tried to not watch the news. It's like, there's so much coming up, and it's like, yes, it happened. There's so much violence, but then it's like, but now what? What are we going to do to protect them? It's happening here as well. Like, just in Chinatown, for example, like, what's going to, like, what are the things that the parameters that are going to be put into place to support these communities?
I mean, that's really interesting, because there's been a lot of debate around that too, because in some cities where there's been an increase in physical violence, the cities have responded saying they're going to increase police presence in those areas. And so there's been a lot of people, you know, community leaders saying, no, you know, that's not what we want. We don't want over policing. We don't want these types of interventions to be the response, right? There needs to be, again, it's like, we're going to go to the areas that are affected, whether it's immigrant neighborhoods or whether it's neighborhoods of community, you know, communities of color, and then we're going to add more police there, right? Instead of looking at who is committing the violence and how can we stop them. I think I read that the shooter in this, in the Atlantic killings, like, had bought a gun from a big store, like, the morning of, and didn't need, you know, he didn't need a background check. Of course, this is the US, so it's a different context, but he was approved, he bought it, and then that's exactly what he did. And he was on his way after the first killing spree to another place to do it again. So yeah, it's like, why don't we over-police that type of violence?
Right.
I mean, it's the golden question, I think. People have been asking for years and maybe even decades, and
centuries,
until white supremacy is addressed and they're willing to open their eyes and open their senses to it, they will always feign ignorance. There will also be more and more reason for them to rely on the police state, right? Because that is their solution for everything. Who's going to be the answer? Not, you know, putting in mental health crisis, like, professionals, not putting in, you know, people who are already integrated into the community to kind of give them the resources, like you were saying, Leah. It's the solution to everything is just going to be police presence and then more police violence and then justifying that police violence.
And cutting money for community organizations. Exactly.
There's no sense of accountability anywhere. And even when you hear stories about one victim's husbands being detained for 4 hours because they thought he was the suspect, because he was a Mexican-American man. I just don't understand the logic. And then he's being notified after the fact about what happened to his wife. That in itself is just, it's typical. And when you, like, I don't know for you all, but I just feel like when I hear these stories, it's kind of just like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised anymore at their response to things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, you know, unfortunate feeling to have, but I feel like we've done so much to try and change it, and they need to do their part.
For what sure. would be some of the things that you would suggest, like, as a response, not necessarily just to this, not necessarily just to anti-Asian racism, but in general?
Honestly, I don't know, because I feel like it's all been said, like trying to like dismantle like the already oppressive systems that are in place. We can't do that because they were meant to oppress us. And the more we fight against it, the more that more pushback they have. Like, I mean, look at what they did in Georgia. They changed like voter suppression laws like in a room overnight like that. And, you know, we can cry allyship, but if allies aren't willing to step up and do what they need to do, then what? It's great that it comes in waves. Like, it comes with a hashtag. It comes with a movement. It comes with all of these organizations now putting out, we denounce, you know, anti-Asian hate or anti-Blackness or anti-this. And then the moment the month is up or the trend is gone, it's like nothing ever happened. And the ones in power are the ones benefiting from all this. And the ones who can change it, they don't want to.
Yeah.
It's not that they can't. They don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, allyship is definitely important, because often in situations of oppression, there's like, I remember I worked at this organization and they didn't have anything for Black History Month. And I felt like they were a big organization. It was important to highlight that. And it was always like, we support you, you, whatever you want to do, we're going to be behind you. And it's like, why does it always have to be the responsibility of minorities to do that, you know? And I was like, well, there's one that I actually did, but there's one I started and then I was like, oh, but like, I'm scared of losing my job. I'm on probation and I'm being emotional. Like, this is a lot to take for one person, for a whole ass organization. So I feel like, yeah, allies need to step up and do their work and to educate themselves and to not only rely on minorities to do that educational work. And yeah, like to write to what are they called? Ministers and stuff, like to really push for laws to be changed and money to be put into communities, not cut back. Cause like, you know, people in the community, like they're often not sure if their contracts are going to be renewed depending on like the funding they're going to receive. And yeah, so I think all of that needs to be addressed.
Snaps what to about all you? Of that.
Hmm?
Snaps to all of that.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it was funny because I have this friend, acquaintance, she's an artist, shout out to Shireen, and she makes candles. And one of the candles that she makes is titled Tokenize at a Nonprofit, which I find really funny. I feel like we could do a whole show about that. So yeah, we'll save that.
Support artists. Support shops, local shops, support, you know, Asian artists, yeah, local businesses, people in need that need like, you know, like e-transfer or what do they call it now? Cash apps. I've never used that, but, but you know.
GoFundMe, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I was talking about Cash App, but GoFundMe as well, you know?
Yeah, I think there is a GoFundMe out for some of the victims too of the, so I don't know, I guess folks can go check out that too. So yeah, I'd just like to wrap up this discussion by saying, well, thanks to both of you, obviously, and thanks to everyone who spoke to me at the protest. It was, you know, it was really great to be there, and I was really honored to share that experience and that space with you.
I'd like to name the victims of the Atlanta massacre. May you all rest in power. Xiao Xie Tan, Dao Yo Feng, Delena Ashley Yon Gonzalez, Paul Andre Michaels, Sun Sheng Park, Hyun Grant, Suncha Kim, in Young IU.
So this is Spitfire. You're listening to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll take a short break and be back with some self-care.
Never really know if I am moving on or backwards. Am I rising into illusions or falling into standards? And how much of my stressing is from expectations wearing thin on my skin and killing me softly? So I give my fears a name. I pluck them up my eye from my own kind of sane and rest. So not every single moment is a test. So I try my best to pause and take a breath. Like at the zenith of my inhale, I know I'm gonna be alright. I'm gonna be just fine. I know. Breathe. Just breathe. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright. That I'm gonna be just fine. I know. We carving out our own paths. No blueprint, a map, but no trust fund pockets. Most times we swimming extra laps, check to paycheck, chipping at it like an architect. But it's too hella slow. Stop, light means go. More ebbs and flows. Self-deprecate on the endless scroll back to where my freeway at. I look for you, black sheep in the sea of machines. Through your art, we reimagine what this world can be. Know that when you're broken, you open to words unspoken. Focus on your dreams, right? But just remember to breathe. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright. That I'm gonna be just fine. I know. At the zenith of my inhale, I know that I'm gonna be alright. That I'm gonna be just fine. I know. Yeah.
Welcome back to Spitfire Women of Color Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. You were just listening to Breathe by Kimmortal, a queer non-binary Filipinx multidisciplinary artist. You should definitely check out their music. So as usual, we're finishing off our discussion this evening with our self-care segment.
Yay! So necessary after this conversation.
True. Actually,
it's exhausting, and I'm just personally gonna say it, like, I'm exhausted by these white people, I'm not gonna lie,
girl.
You know, like, for my friends who like are white and who are like stepping up and doing their part, like, I appreciate them, but for the other ones, like, honestly, it's just so tiring, like, all the time. And like I was saying, like, during the break, like, there's part of me, like, it's a really, like, messed up self-care routine, but, like, sometimes, like, I find myself going down a rabbit hole with, like, the Karen videos and, like, just watching them get arrested, like, after acting a fool and trying to pull, like reverse racism card. And then you have those officers are just, like, so over it. And they're just like, I don't care. And, like, they're trying to, like, spout all these things in the law that have nothing to do with the law. And then they're just getting, like, put in handcuffs and they're screaming. And they're getting, like, cars. And I'm just, like, very happy. Like, I outwardly laugh and be like, you deserve it. Like, every single instance of everything that's happening to you. Like, karma is a beautiful thing. And I feel, like, redeemed. Like, I mean, it's not any kind of, like, you know, justice, so to speak, because who knows, she might be, like, let out, like, in the next, like, hour or whatever, but it's just the pleasure I get from watching her get arrested, and being told, like, no one's taking your ish anymore, like, your day is done. And after that, when you see posts like, this one lost their job because of the video, and it's just like, what did you expect? Like, and then they come out with, like, this half-hearted, oh, no, I'm not racist, no, no, no. And just like, it's too little too late, you know, enjoy those handcuffs, enjoy your record.
You
know, can't be out there doing foolishness anymore, you know? Like, yeah. Learn your lesson and be a better human being.
Mm.
But, you know, it's the little, you know, the little victories, and I'm just trying to amass them in, like, all of this turmoil that's, like, happening every day. But, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Karen's. Karen's reparations.
Yes. But actually, and the Kevins, too.
Oh, Kevins. Oh, I didn't know there was a...
Men who are doing their Karen are called Kevins.
Oh, well, learned something today.
Yep. Them too, sometimes. So just like,
yeah.
I mean, technically, like, you know, there's levels. There's levels to this, like, yeah. But I mean, either way, if it's just like them getting handcuffed by the end of the video, I think it's a good day.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Like, just like seeing the shit being shut down. I totally get that. It kind of reminds me, okay, it's not the same thing, but it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever watched those YouTube videos. There's that guy, I think his name is Jim something, but he's really good at computers, coding, whatever. I'm not good at that. But he exposes scammers.
I have not heard of this. What is this?
And I don't know why the YouTube algorithm just showed it to me. And I was like, what's that? Let me just... And it's so addictive. Like, you hear him, like, speak with a scammer, and like the scammer thinks he's about to scam him, but he like actually has access to his computer and like is playing a game, or like barges in when like the scammer is talking to someone else, or anyways, it's just I don't know why this is what also.
No, exactly. It's that rabbit hole of gotcha, and like you can't get away with this anymore.
Right.
It's like no more excuses, we're not taking it. Nope. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a satisfying feeling. But you're gonna have to share that. I've never seen anything like that on Andre. Like, you're gonna have to share that.
I feel like it's so random. I was like, should I keep this to myself?
But is like, that your self-care though? Like, if that's what you're saying, is your self-care?
Oh wait, no. That's my self-care. I mean, yeah, sometimes, but no, lately, again, like just comedy videos or music from the 70s.
Old school music for the soul, that too.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been on a 90s kick too. Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Oh, nostalgia hit me. I got a Tamagotchi too.
My youth. Oh, really?
Oh my God, you got it?
I did.
Wait, one that you had before or like a new one?
Well, that one. I never had one as a child. My parents were not about that life. So I decided to get one because I need some joy. Like I was, like I said, like nostalgia hit hard for whatever reason it did. And I got one. I had him for 3 days and then he went back to his home planet, which apparently is a surprise to a lot of people that Tamagotchi go back to their home planet. And then you have to hatch a new one. So I've hatched my new one, but he's really annoying and just eats all the time. So I put him on pause. And again, that is something that's very new to everyone, that you can put the Tamagotchi on pause. So currently he's on pause, but I saw he's alive. That's what counts. He's like dying. Yeah. So yeah, that's also been part of my, like the videos, the 90s nostalgia, 2000s nostalgia music, and my Tamagotchi. So much has been great.
Having a moment. That's so funny though. What about me? I haven't been very good at this, I think, this month. I don't know. It's been just, things have just been really overwhelming. So I haven't focus that much on this. I think what I have done though over the last couple of days has just been like kind of be MIA and not on, like not reading the news, because I typically read the news a lot, and like not being on social media and everything. I've just taken like a few days kind of off, and that has been nice because you get to be with your thoughts and kind of tune out some of that, you know, other noise, trim the excess fat, if you know what I mean. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to try and make that like a weekly habit or something, like have a day or two where I just like cut out that type of content. Because especially because now you're always like, I find I'm always on my phone. I'm always on my computer. I'm always on, you know, these are the only ways I really have to be able to like socialize or communicate with anybody. And there's great things about that, but it's also tiring, and there's negative things too. Yeah.
So we would like to formally and continually share this with all of you listening. We want to hear from you, voices of Black, Indigenous, women, femmes, non-binary folks of color. We're here for you. We stand with you. We are you. No, we're not, but you know, we're part of the community. So please reach out if you want to talk about your next project or join our conversations. And Spitfire Women of Color Radio broadcasts every last Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. So if you're a femme of color, want to be part of the space, this platform for you too, saying it again. And you can write to us at spitfire@ckut.ca. And we're easily reachable on our Facebook page named Spitfire Women of Color Radio. And Spitfire is spelled S-P-I-T-F-I-Y-A-H. I don't know why, but so leaving you on this note with some Nina Simone. Have a good evening.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. You shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new.
Good evening and welcome to Amanla, 1 hour of African Current Affairs brought to you in English and sometimes French here on CQUT 90.3 FM, CQUT.ca around the world. And we have a full show for you, but before Doug tells you what's in line, we just want to thank everybody who made donations. My goodness, and they will all be individually thanked through the course of the show, but we had sort of secretly to ourselves set a limit of $600 thinking, we're not going to make as much because of COVID. We surpassed it. We raised $1,480. So we love our listeners so much. And clearly some of you guys love us too. So we just wanted to start with that. But back to business. So Doug, you were kind of solo this week. What do you have lined up for us?
Well, just to repeat what you said about, I'm humbled by the support and thank you so much.
It's a major wow.
Yes. Well, we.